The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Welcome to Wheels Up Wednesday, 11 minutes after 6. Join the conversation at 770-5633. How you feeling this morning? How you holding up? Everything okay? Going to be cooling down a little bit into the low 70s or so for tomorrow. I guess we're back into the 90s next week or so. But for Labor Day. That's all right. I'm going to be sweating like a pig over at the Milan Melon Festival on Labor Day weekend as I go to my 45th high school reunion, so I could go back there and find out. And they said, Bill, we'd like you to say a few words when you go up there. It's going to be like, I'm amazed they were all so old, and how are we all still alive? Good. They were great people. Great people I went to. My class of 1979 was only maybe 150, 155 people. That was it. Four-year high school, 150, that was it. And there were two extracurricular activities. You were either a jock or you were in band and choir. That was it. I was the band and choir guy. And then the other people were in, that was it. You know, you were either in band or you're in choir. That's all. And somehow we managed okay. We managed okay. All right. A lot of things we need to talk about this morning here. And one of them having to do with what's going on, the attack on Medford police here in Southern Oregon. ACLU, and this coming out of the Oregonian, they broke this story yesterday. ACLU of Oregon filed suit yesterday against the Medford Police Department, claiming it has illegally been compiling secret files on individuals and groups who protested against the Minneapolis police murder of George Floyd, pushed for LGBTQ plus rights, criticized the U.S. Supreme Court overturning of Roe v. Wade, and advocated for homeless people and drug abusers. Yes, we need lots of people out protesting in favor of drug abusers. Yeah, we understand this is the Stab and Wagon group and more. But the suit alleges that the police department monitored social media accounts and combed news stories to build files against individuals and groups when they weren't suspected of any criminal activity. Simply put, MPD is abusing its power to spy on activists whose view it dislikes. And not only that, building and maintaining files about such people and organizations without any justifiable law enforcement purpose. A blatant violation of Oregon law. This is according to the lawsuit that was filed in Jackson County Circuit Court. Now, they're not looking for money. Rather, it's asking a judge to order police to stop the practice. The city's attorney office did not immediately respond to the Rogue Valley Times yesterday about that in the Oregonian, but they did end up getting back to NBC 5 News and KDRV News, I believe. They both had a conversation on this yesterday with stories and reporting on it. And Medford Police Department refutes the claims made in this recent lawsuit filed by the Rogue Valley Pepper Shaker, Stab and Wagon, and Melissa Jones regarding our police department's practices and interpretation of ORS 181A.250. The statute at issue is focused on information gathering specifically about the political, religious, or social views of individuals. The purpose of reviewing publicly available information. See, this is what I was getting at. I even commented on the story on RV Times. The purpose of reviewing publicly available information on social media channels is not to analyze or judge individuals' political, religious, or social views, but to address legitimate police interests regarding public rallies and protests. The statute addresses the gathering of information's political, religious, or social views. The Medford Police Department refused publicly available social media for potential traffic disruptions, possible breaches of the peace, potential conflicts between protesters and counter-protesters, and risks of property damage or violence. Incident at public events such as the conflicts and traffic disruptions in Medford on June 1st of 2020 exemplify why being prepared is essential. The city was able to reroute traffic and help mitigate conflicts between counter-protesters and protesters. Our goal is to ensure preparedness for any worst-case scenarios to protect community safety. Essentially, you know, what's going on here with this lawsuit, this ACLU lawsuit, is that They want Medford Police and all the other police departments, I would imagine, around here to be deaf, dumb, and blind. You know, if the Stabbin' Wagon doesn't want their dirtbaggy behavior advocations out there to be monitored by police or regular people, don't put it on your effing social media account. You're putting it out there for everybody to see. Essentially, the ACLU is saying, you know, Medford Police, you shouldn't be paying attention to actually what's going on there. So that way, you're surprised when the dirtbags are out in force and the activists try to burn down the city on behalf of a fentanyl abuser. And I know it's all sorts of things. It's like that's essentially what the ACLU is about. And, you know, to me, I look at this, this is publicly accessible. You and I can look at what's going on with Stabbin' Wagon or the Pepper Shakers or whatever the hell all of these other left-wing activist groups are all about. We can look at all of this stuff ourselves. And what? The police department's not supposed to look at this too, even though the radicals in Southern Oregon are perfectly happy and delighted. They put it out there. They put it out there right there in the open. What, you're not supposed to have a bookmark or keep a, well, hey, you know, they're talking about getting sporty on you know, May Day weekend. Maybe they're going to get a little sporty out there. Maybe we should just, you know, keep an eye on it to make sure there's no problem. You know, it's like there'd be no winning for police departments. You would think that we, the people, would be wanting police paying attention to what could be going on. This sounds like a perfectly reasonable thing that Medford police are doing. And it's not exactly like the radicals, the left-wing commies, are trying to keep it secret around here. They're very loud about it. So they're very loud about it. They want you to know about it. They want you to, you know, to be out there and, you know, stand for the drug addicts here in Southern Oregon and don't get in the way of the Stabbin' Wagon type people, even though Melissa is no longer the director, from what I understand. But, yeah, you know, it's okay that we want to be able to talk on social media to one another in public where everybody else can see it, right? It's in the public. But no, we don't want Medford police to read any of this or pay attention. That's essentially what this ACLU lawsuit is about. The radicals can say whatever they want, talk about being wherever they want, and if Medford police were to pay attention to it and actually, well, you know, maybe you ought to just go out there and make sure that things stay peaceable. They're not supposed to do that. They're only supposed to be reactive after the violence breaks out, after someone gets hit in the head with the frozen water bottle at the protest and the counter-protesters, things like that. That's the only time they're supposed to pay attention and show up. What baloney? What BS? I don't see anybody going out there and getting arrested preemptively, you know, for doing anything. They've been arrested and maybe charged with crimes for things that they've actually done. But my gosh, you know, if we take this tool away that, you know, we don't really want police monitoring news stories and social media, even though that's publicly available information. I mean, what sense does that make? I'm hoping that the judge who hears this case either throws it out on its butt or rules against the ACLU in this particular case. You know, they're not going over to the radicals' homes and running and sitting there and doing surveillance and things like that. They're taking publicly available information. Am I off base on this? 770-5633, 770-KMED. It's just absolutely nuts. You know, the latest. That's how I see it. And if you have a different feeling about that, or maybe you agree, I'd just like to get your take. 770-5633. Should police be able to read news stories and tuck away news stories talking about things that that groups are doing, radical or otherwise? To me, this is called paying attention and being a good police department. That's the way I see that. This is the Bill Myers Show, and you're on KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Waking up, 770-5633 to join in. Wheels Up Wednesday. Eric Peters joins me in about 15. We'll talk transportation and more. And a lot of politics this morning, for sure.
Joel here from Butler Ford and Truck Center, and hey, I know I get excited in these ads and I start talking loud and fast, but hey, that's because I genuinely love Ford trucks and SUV. I own Fords. My family and friends drive Fords. I've been selling Fords at Butler for over 21 years to happy customers like you who've made Butler Ford the highest Google-rated Ford store in Oregon. So when I see a good deal on a Ford F-150 Super Duty or SUV, I get excited to tell you about it. And right now, I'm excited that you can pay only $399 a month to lease a Ford F-150 4x4. Pay $399 a month, drive it for 3 years, then come back and get a new one. I also want you to know that interest rates on the new Ford Escape are down to 2.9% for 75 months. 2.9 for 75 months? So yes, I get excited about saving our customers money on a new Ford. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes down the freeway in Ashland, off of exit 19, where we got your truck, your SUV, certified pre-owned, and your savings.
36-month lease to qualifying trading customers with $63.58 to assigning, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer doc fee on stock number 59693 and selling price of $52,905 after all rebates and discounts. 75 monthly payments of $14.59 per thousand financed. All financing on approved credit through Ford Credit. See dealer for more details.
The following preview has been rated immature for all audiences except metal roof enthusiasts and small children. In the not-too-distant sun-baked future, in a world where leafy debris and pine needles collect on unsuspecting homeowners' roofs, where just one seemingly harmless airborne ember could cause a catastrophic fire, two unassuming technicians...
He's talking about us!
...embark on an epic journey to fabricate and install fire-resistant metal roofs on Southern Oregon buildings. Heroes will rise. Fire hazards will fall.
This is awesome.
This summer, call the Metal Roofing Division at Fontana Roofing and witness the sheer...
So what do you think?
So it's like we're superhero firefighters except without the supernatural powers, form-fitting costumes, and inherent danger?
Exactly.
Can we drive big, shiny red trucks?
Maybe in the sequel.
For an epic fire-resistant roof, call Fontana Roofing's Metal Roof Division. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa with Pacific Service Supply, and I'm on KMED.
The conversation, I should say, join the conversation at 770-5633, the Bill Myers Show on KMED, 99.3 KBXG, 106.3, 106.7, 105.9, Grants Pass area, also 99.3 during the morning show. 6 to 9. So we're taking care of you. So we have the ACLU suing Medford police for spying on liberal groups they dislike. Well, it couldn't be, though, that the liberal groups tend to be where most of the troublemaking comes in Southern Oregon. It's never that. But still, I think they have absolutely no case because the city of Medford Police Department is just monitoring news and monitoring social media like anybody else could. It just astounds me that the ACLU is going to try to make the case, and perhaps a liberal judge in the state of Oregon will decide that Medford police should be paying attention less to potential problems and disorder than regular people could. They're supposed to know less. And you know darn well that if the rabid liberal groups were to go out there and be causing some trouble, and it has happened from time to time, there have been some issues. We had our issues during the Summer of Love, remember it well, which you're supposed to kneel and burn down the system for a fentanyl addict that got sideways with the cops. It's kind of the way I look at that thing. Don't even get me started on the summer of George Floyd. But somehow the police officers, the people put in charge of trying to keep some order here in disorderly times, they're supposed to know less. Don't pay attention. Ignore us. We don't like it when you people surveil us. Well, I'm not surveilling. I'm reading the newspaper, or I'm reading the online postings and the ravings that you're putting up on your group. And, you know, and if you say that you're going to get sporty at some point, maybe we as Medford police should believe you or take you at your word. You're very proud of it, after all, for the most part. You're loud and proud. So that's it. The radical groups here in Southern Oregon are loud and proud about it. They want to be loud and proud. They want to make sure that you know about it and everybody else that could be on social media knows about it. But they just don't want police to know about it. I do find that really interesting, don't you? I'm hoping that this lawsuit goes nowhere and gets smacked down. In a sane world, it will be. It will be. Of course, when it comes right down to it, if the state of Oregon's really serious about stopping any kind of surveillance, why do we have an FBI building in downtown Medford? Yeah, don't even get me started there. All right, 770-5633. We can talk about that if you want. Another interesting story. Oregon Department of Corrections, according to a new story in Oregon Live, paid a corrections officer less than her male counterpart, even though the woman had more experience. This according to another lawsuit filed this month. Corey Goss claims of unequal pay, supported by an investigation earlier this year by the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries, found substantial evidence of discrimination. Goss is a corrections officer at Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, state women's prison in Wilsonville. And her lawsuit claims that, well, once whistleblower retaliation, too, looking for $2.5 million in damage. Oh, boy, you thought PERS was going to be a good payoff after a few years in the prison, right, girly? But anyway, in all seriousness, I don't mean girly, but still, Goss said that she was hired as a corrections officer in 2020 after a decade in Yamhill County. And she found out that other people who were male hired and paid more, even though they had less experience. Well, she had the college degree. Ah, she had the proper level of indoctrination, I guess. I always get concerned about these kind of lawsuits because, especially when I see them in the law enforcement world. Now, she was a corrections officer at Coffee Creek. In our diversity, equity, and inclusion kind of world, I hope that we're not getting to the point where guys who actually can handle themselves better in a lot of prison situations and are physically more able to take it on are somehow going to be penalized in this situation. I mean, I think about, once again, what happened with President Trump's assassination attempt, and you had, you know, a well-trained Secret Service agent, but, you know, I'm sure she went through the training and otherwise was fine, but was physically inadequate to the task. Just was. Too short, not able to really provide the bodyguard protection for a guy that's over 6 feet tall, you know? These are the sort of things that, you know, I'm wondering about. We had another Secret Service agent that apparently had to leave her post to go breastfeed her baby. That story, remember that. And we're getting to this point where under this guise of DEI, we sacrifice the ability to actually do the job. I'm hoping that's not the case. This this Coffee Creek Correctional Center, it sounds like, yeah, they screwed her over. Yeah, they did the wrong thing. And I know that they'll pay for it. Well, no, actually, you and I will pay for it because that's the way this works. But I must say that anytime I hear about a lawsuit right now alleging discrimination, they discriminated against me, or they were mean to me in this board, or, you know, it's kind of like I'm always suspicious. I'm automatically almost dismissive of a lot of this stuff until we know a lot more about it because of just the way the system has decayed. You know, it's like I'm a 5'8" foot guy, kind of porky, like Big Lou would talk about, right? You know, that sort of thing. I wouldn't be a great Secret Service agent or a great police officer. You know, I wouldn't have that kind of command presence. But yet we think that you can just hire people just because you have a pulse to do certain jobs that need a certain level of physicality and command presence. That's the problem I have with the DEI push, especially in law enforcement, Secret Service, and various other things, military, and so much more. You read the stories. We aren't all the same. And we shouldn't be treated as if we're all the same. That's just my take, but I know that... Oh, shut up, Boomer. Okay, I get it. All right. Just having fun with you, all right? We will actually have some fun here in just a moment. Eric Peters joins me. Lots to talk about, politics, cars, and so... Oh, but he had an EV to review. I'm sure he had great fun. I'd love to find out how long it took for him to charge the EV before it got sent back. It's a Volvo this time, I think. But we'll dig into more of that. Wheels Up Wednesday coming up. You're on the Bill Myers Show. Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. The ACLU has filed suit against the Medford Police Department, claiming it's illegally been compiling secret files on people who protested against the Minneapolis murder of George Floyd and advocated for homeless people and drug users, among other complaints. They claim the police department monitored social media news stories to build files against people who weren't suspected of any criminal activity. Neither the city attorney nor the police chief have commented. The Grants Pass City Council backed away from designating four sites for homeless camping and now favors two sites, one at a future water treatment plant site and one on a vacant lot across from City Hall. Oregon's U.S. senators sent a letter this week to the Interior Secretary asking for more help for farmers impacted by the state's devastating wildfire season. Senators Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley want the secretary to approve that request to ensure rural communities receive the support they need to recover. I'm Bill London, KMED News.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The Democrats spent some time looking in the rearview mirror at their national convention last night, bringing the Obamas back to rev up the delegates and sing the praises of Kamala Harris. Former President Trump vowing to restore law and order. He's accusing Democrats of weaponizing government while turning a blind eye to lawlessness. Mr. Trump campaigning yesterday in Howell, Michigan. Today he'll be in North Carolina. Iran-backed Houthi rebels suspected in another attack on a commercial ship in the Red Sea. The vessel attacked to the point of being not under command, according to the British military. Russian authorities say Moscow has come under the largest attack yet by Ukrainian drones since the start of the war in Ukraine in 2022, and Moscow says all of those drones were destroyed. The opening bell just sounding on Wall Street, stocks starting off the day higher. More details at srnnews.com.
On August 30th, Reagan returns to office.
We are the greatest country in the world. We have just forgotten.
You can run from a bully for so long, but after a while, you're going to have to stand up to him.
I am about to start the biggest war of this century.
You told me you wanted to make a difference in this world.
What would you have me do?
I want you to fight!
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall!
Reagan, in theaters Friday, August 30th, rated PG-13.
Hear that? It's the gentle sound of a waterfall on your hike. And if you were here, you'd take a deep breath of fresh air, if you weren't so winded. But you're not here, because your self-care happens out on the road, riding your motorcycle protected by Progressive. And the bugs you wipe from your headlights are all the nature you need. So if you ride, see if you could save with Progressive, America's number one motorcycle insurer. Get an online quote in as little as 3 minutes. All from the great indoors. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states.
Life's busy, and off is not an option. You need to be on the water, on the call, on the road. Life's waiting. Power on with Batteries Plus. Visit one of over 700 locations today.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, Just-in-Time Appliance is your fast and affordable mobile appliance repair, serving the Rogue Valley. Just-in-Time services and repairs all brands. Major appliances often can be repaired, extending their life and saving you money. So give Just-in-Time Appliance a no-obligation call for advice on whether it can be fixed with the best warranty around. Before you go to the expense of buying a new appliance, call Just-in-Time Appliance online at justintimeappliance.com.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Now Bill wants to hear from you. 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
And we want to hear from you if you want to talk with Eric Peters. Eric Peters, epautos.com, automotive journalist, great guy, friend of America. And welcome back, Eric. Great to have you on as always.
Likewise, Bill. Glad to be here.
Yeah, my teeth hurting a little bit this morning, both politically, both about what's going on, ACLU. And, of course, you and I are very big on civil liberties, about being left alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the way I tend to look at things is that if you put your stuff out on social media and essentially yell it to the world on a CB radio, and then you're surprised that your local police are paying attention to it, maybe building up a little file of things that you're talking about doing, and maybe you're going to advocate for, disorderly, having the drug addicts in downtown Medford, rally around you and all this kind of stuff. You know, ACLU now, I don't know, I was telling you a little bit about this, suing Medford police over this one. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wait a minute. For whatever problems we have with police officers, and there are problems, they're good, there are bad ones. Don't we want them to be paying attention to what people are saying and talking about. You know, they're just openly saying, hey, this is what we're advocating, especially if it could be involving big protests, you know, big gatherings, big traffic issues, big conflicts, possibly. Wouldn't you think that that's a reasonable expectation?
Well, you know, it's awful that we even have to make these distinctions, but making threats is one thing, and I have no problem with police looking into people who are making threats, mm-hmm. whether they're making them in the form of an online post or putting a poster up somewhere, essentially saying that they're going to get somebody or cause harm to somebody. That is a legitimate thing for the police to do. Mm-hmm. The problem is that now, of course, we're in a culture and a political system in which if you express dissent, if you question something, that is taken as tantamount to a threat.
Ah.
So you know, now we've just got this paralyzing problem. And, of course, the left is exploiting it mercilessly, as the left always does. This is the same left that at one time claimed to be militantly in favor of free speech. Remember when the ACLU was in favor of that?
Yeah. But no one's saying that the Medford Police Department's not in favor of your free speech. No one's saying that. They're not saying that. They're upset, though, that they would perhaps pay attention and just, all right, like, be on the lookout. If there's a problem, at least we kind of have an idea on what might be coming, because their job is to try to keep some order in a disorderly.
Well, the reason why is because they're looking at leftists, I'm imagining, for the most part.
Yeah, and yes.
They're probably looking at Antifa-type thugs who are effectively or essentially posting threatening things on social media or elsewhere, and that's why the ACLU has a problem with it.
If it was, if they were going after the right-wing groups that were out there protesting that they're going to burn it down, that'd be different. That'd be okay, right? That's
just
protecting. Well,
then they'd be defending our democracy.
Yeah, exactly. Except that, well, the right-wing folks here in Medford aren't doing that, and so the only people that tend to be, you know, getting a little sporty tend to be left of center. I guess that. Well, that's why the ACLU, the American,
which is why it's so frustrating. You know, mm-hmm. People on our side, when we, as a rule, for the most part, when we're upset about something politically, we don't torch cities. You know, we may post things on social media, not threats, but we may post statements that we don't like something or here's why we don't like it and explaining our disagreement. But we're, generally speaking, not people who express ourselves violently. And yet our intellectual opposition to things is framed as violent. You know, the left is overt about that. They characterize our words as implicitly threatening when they simply question whatever the left's orthodoxies.
Oh my gosh, they'll even claim that our silence is violence on something.
Correct, exactly.
You know, not saying something is violent, too. Just a wild time. And so anyway, this is one example. I think the ACLU doesn't have much to stand on, but yet it's another thing which, you know, my teeth hurt, you know, on these kind of things, because I assure you that if there was a big leftist brouhaha and there were problems, then people would be saying, hey, police department, why didn't you know anything or do anything about this thing?
They're in an impossible position. You know, like
that's what
you,
I'm getting
I
at.
Many,
impossible position.
I have position. Many issues with the police, but at the same time, I sympathize with these guys and the job that they have to do. They're placed in a completely impossible position. You know, they basically have to say patty cake and pretty please to violent thugs, because if they actually attempt to do something about it, they're going to probably find themselves criminally charged and civilly ruined.
Yeah, that's it indeed. And so let's take us now to the political of the National at the moment, because you've written a couple of great articles on epautos.com. A lot of commentary on this one, too. A lot of people are checking in here. And one of them being the orange trap. And this, of course, being about President Trump. And it's I was even talking to our congressman yesterday. I'm astounded at how there seems to be a pretty flat foot response to the communist revolution being fostered by the Harris Walls campaign.
Yeah, how could they not have seen this coming? That's the first obvious response to it, and not having prepared for it. And the thing that bothers me so much about the way Trump is dealing with it now is that he's resorting to these petty, childish insults. He said the other day that he looks better than Kamala Harris. That's not going to win him the margin that he needs to prevent Kamala from stealing the election.
But a lot of Republicans, though, a lot of the MAGA crowd, they love that. They go, it's Trump being Trump. You know,
Trump has won his base. He's won the 48%, right?
Yeah.
But in order to win the election, he's got to win another 3 or 4%. And he can only do that by talking about the issues that matter to people. And for most people, it doesn't matter whether he is or is not better looking than Kamala Harris.
Yeah, and that's just it. And I've been talking about this, too. It's like, you know, please just go on the issues. There is so much to pick apart with this Harris Walz ticket so much, and it's like, where do you even start? Just focus on that and try to educate people just how radical the group is. Now, I know Donald Trump, no one's perfect. We're all human. We all have our flaws. But there is a difference of opinion on how to run the country, I would say, over the next 3-4 years. It's not this, and this is something I've tired of right now. In this case, they'll talk about with the presidential campaigns, Pepsi, Coke. I don't think so this time. I think we're crossing Rubicons as we speak.
No question, and that's why it's so important, and that's why it's so depressing and defeating, to me at least, to listen to him make these juvenile insults that are not helpful. They're not going to convert any people. They're not going to persuade any people. What they're going to do is irritate people. You know, I draw up the analogy of the 2012 election when Mitt Romney was running, and a lot of Republicans were just, ugh, why even bother? Because what's the difference, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, now we've got this guy out there who's just, you know, what's the point? Why would I even bother? You have to get people interested and think that it's important. And we're not just going to get another 4 years of mean tweets. You know, people are concerned about the price of food. They're concerned about the state of the economy. They're concerned about the border. There's so many important issues that average people are interested in hearing about. And when Trump talks about those, he really connects.
Oh, and when he stays on message, he's beautiful on these kind of things. But it's the ad hominem. And I know the challenge is that he got where he is largely through the ad hominem attack, you know, the nicknames.
Well, again,
for
it was
someone.
A different time. The economy wasn't literally on the verge of collapsing. You know, the country wasn't being overrun by, what's the figure, something like 10,000 border jumpers every single day.
Yeah.
You know, these are really important, even existential issues that people are concerned about. They're really concerned about it. They don't want to hear about who's better looking than somebody else.
Because what concerns me about this, if you're going to treat all of your public appearances like just a rally, is that you're not going to the whole idea of winning this election process is to peel off a percent or two from the persuadable. That's really all we're talking about at this point.
You know, somebody made a very, very good point in regard to the electoral map the other day. This is not a national election. It's a state election. There are about 5 states that will determine the outcome of the election. And it's those 5 states that Trump has got to win. And if he loses 3 of them, he's lost the election. And those states are going to get lost or won probably by a margin of a few, maybe 10,000 votes or so.
Yeah. And the other thing is that if there is any hinkiness, as there's been arguably a bit of smoke about the 2020 elections and beyond there, if you end up, teeing off some people who could have been persuaded to come over to your side because you're just going there, you're just going there and it's not necessarily helpful, you have your polls close enough that steals, if God forbid something like that were to happen, look plausible. You know what I'm getting
at? Exactly right. Exactly right. And so if there are enough people who are just disgusted with Trump and tired of the mean tweets who stay home, it's game over for us.
And Team Freedom, you know, Team Freedom's in against the ropes right now, in my opinion. So, or at least just team a little less totalitarianism. Maybe that's how we should be calling it right now.
He has the tools. He has the charisma. He has the capability. If he will just, as we talked about a moment ago, get back on point and talk about the issues, stop talking about himself, and stop hurling insults at other people.
And I know that J.D. Vance, I think, has been doing a pretty good job on batting cleanup, but he's only capable of so much, in my opinion.
Yeah, and ultimately nobody cares about the vice president. You know, the ticket is determined by who's at the top of the ticket, not who's the second banana.
Yeah, agreed. Eric Peters with me, epautos.com, and the story we're talking about is the orange trap. And I know that you were taking a lot of incoming over this, too, but I think it's a sound analysis. We just need smart. We don't have the voting majorities to be able to be petty. We just can't
be
that
thing,
way.
You know, it's interesting. You're right. I did take flack because I'm not a like uncritical worshiper of the orange man. He's not a deity. He's not somebody who doesn't make mistakes. And when he makes bad mistakes, it's really dumb of us to not point them out.
Agreed. It is a quarter before 7. Eric Peters with me, epautos.com. So that's a great one. And We'll shift out of politics here for a moment, but how about a compliance car? What's the latest compliance car that you have to drive? Because it's a Volvo this time, right?
Yeah,
Volvo?
It's a Volvo. It's the XC40 Recharge. That's what they call it. And all that means is that it's a battery-powered version of the entirely competent XC40, which is a small crossover that Volvo makes. The interesting thing about this particular one is what they've done for this model year. Last year, it was only available with this very high-powered dual-motor setup, and it was very quick. The problem was it didn't go very far. It only went about 223 miles, I think.
Oh.
And that was best-case scenario, as you know. So this year, what they did was to take out one of the motors and reduce the power by about half, and that increased the range to just shy of 300 miles, best-case hypothetical. The problem is, it's now not even as quick as the regular XC40 that's not electric, and yet it costs almost $13,000 more. So the question arises, why would you pay almost $13,000 for a vehicle that's not quicker and still doesn't go as far as the non-electric version of the same thing?
Because you wish to virtue signal, I suppose. I don't...
Well, it's a real paradox because they've backed themselves into a corner with regard to, well, the way we're going to get people to not think about not only the short range, but far more importantly, in my opinion, the lengthy recharge times. I think that's the critical problem. It's not the range. It's having to sit there for a minimum of 20 to 30 minutes to get a partial charge. Well, how do we get people to forget about that or at least be willing to put up with that? Well, we offer them extremely quick acceleration and lots of power. But if you don't offer that, then what can you offer them?
You're offering them less for more. That's what you're doing.
Right.
Hmm. Anyway, the 2024 Volvo XC40 Recharge. It's a competent car, but once again, it's just less car for more money. That's it.
Yeah,
right?
My take on it is, why would you not just go out and buy the regular XC40 and skip the recharge part?
Oh, man, oh, man. Which kind of takes us back to something. Well, we were talking about this last week. Are they dumb or something worse? That's another article you have up on there. And this is the firing or the laying off of all these Stellantis workers because they're getting rid of the Ram Classic truck, which is very popular. A lot of people. It wasn't that nobody wanted to buy the Ram Classic. They loved it. It's just that it doesn't comply with the regime, as it were.
Well,
right?
It makes it hard for them to comply. The problem with it is that it was still available with the wonderful Hemi V8. And the more of those they sold, the lower their corporate average fuel economy number was. So they had to get rid of it. And the thing that prompted me to write the article, because I've written about that general topic before, was this silly article that I saw on Jalopnik, which markets itself as a car site, where they were deriding J.D. Vance for criticizing the decision of Stellantis to cancel it, because that would be an example of not going along with what the free market wants.
Okay, but that is one of the stupidest things I've heard. What the free market wanted was more of the Ram Classics, and the reason why Stellantis did it was because of having to bend the knee to the dictator, essentially.
That's right. And, you know, I mean, Stellantis is on the ropes right now. Their net profit is down by almost half. They're hemorrhaging stock value. They're in a disastrous position. You know, here we are almost at the end of the year, and they still haven't brought out the battery-powered version of the Charger that was supposed to be the replacement for Displacement, you know, because they got rid of the real Charger and the real Challenger, which were two of their biggest cash cows. They have now gotten rid of the Ram 1500 Classic, which was a great seller for them. People are not lining up to buy the new Ram, which has the inline six, which is a great engine, but it's much more expensive and it's much more complicated, and fewer people can afford to buy a truck that starts at more than $50,000.
And the other thing I think people have to consider is that, just like the problems that you talked about with Toyota with their brand new engine, do you want to be the first person to, A, spend $10,000 more and also have a brand new untested engine? How about that?
That's right. You know, and another thing that's beginning to percolate, and it's taken a little while for this to percolate, but everybody knows about it now, insurance costs are going through the roof. You know, people who've never filed a claim, haven't had an accident, are opening that envelope and finding that their premium has gone up by 20, 30, 40%. And the reason it's going up is because of the repair costs that are involved, the repair and replacement costs with these late model vehicles that are now so complicated and so expensive to replace whenever anything goes wrong.
Eric, what would happen if a Stellantis just decided to say, we're going to build the cars and trucks that our customers want? Now, from what I understand, all they would have to do is pay, what, the gas guzzler fee of some sort? I mean, or is there more to it than
that? Actually, that is what Dodge and Chrysler, you know, the subsidiary brands that are owned by Stellantis, were doing for many, many years. They were just paying the fee, but the management of Stellantis decided they didn't want to continue to pay those fees. Now, to me, the more interesting thing is there is legal standing or basis for doing just what you said in the wake of the Chevron decision. Mm-hmm. I could see a company deciding, hey, we're not going to do this because the government, the Supreme Court has said the government doesn't have the right, the regulatory apparat does not have the right to just decree these regulations and impose these costs on us.
And continuing to tighten them. And continuing to tighten them year after year after year. Did Congress actually, you know, give them the authority to essentially shut down commerce, which is really what they're doing with these regulations?
Yeah, take it to court and let's see what happens. And that would be a great venue for them to make their case and point out things like, look, you're talking about imposing potentially thousands of dollars of costs individually on people who are buying cars for the sake of what exactly? A 0.03 difference in the emissions of whatever it happens to be. How can you justify that? Make it plain to people. Make the case to people.
Yeah. Has anyone even talked about maybe suing any corporate?
Not to my knowledge. You know, I hope there are discussions like that going on behind closed doors right now, because I do believe that we are very close to an existential moment for the car industry. This can't go on much longer.
651, I'm talking with Eric Peters, automotive journalist. If you have a question or comment on anything we've been talking about, or maybe have a vehicle you're looking at, maybe you're looking at a used vehicle, looking for maybe Eric's take on if you think it's something that would be worthwhile or well, so just join in. 770-563-3770-KMED. Eric, we'll be right back, and I appreciate you making the time, okay? 770-5633.
The model year 47.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
And back with Eric Peters, automotive journalist at epautos.com. Lona, let's get you on. You wanted to ask a question or two of Eric on something. What's on your mind? Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was wondering if they were aware that school bus dealers that sell the school buses are required to sell a certain number of electric school buses, or they will be penalized.
I was not aware of that. Were you, Eric?
I'm not aware of a requirement, but I don't know that that matters, because a lot of these counties and school boards and so on have bought into the green agenda and are committing their local taxpayers, check out your property tax bill when it comes next time, to spend your money on an electric school bus.
Yeah. Lona, which district did you hear that from? I know that there was a grant given for a local school district. I want to say out past Prospect, I believe, is what ended up getting a grant for electric school buses. But what are you hearing? Where are you hearing this? I'm just curious.
I have a friend that trains school bus drivers and was a supervisor for school district transportation, and he's worked in the field for over 30 years.
Oh.
And he goes to what's called OPTA, Oregon Pupil Transportation Association's convention each summer. And he's been, he's bought school buses through being a supervisor, and he's dealt with all of these, couple of these in Oregon that sell the school buses. And they told him that they are required to sell a certain number of electric school buses.
Yeah, and else there's a penalty. I imagine it'd be a financial penalty, but you know, I'm getting to the point where if the school districts are wise and actually want to save taxpayers money, maybe they should just buy the thank you very much for the call, Lona. Eric, maybe they should just buy the conventional bus that is overall less expensive.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that because they bought into this ideologically, and that's what has to be challenged. If you accept their premise, the climate is changing, you know, and it's imperative that we electrify everything, you know, that's the moral position that they're taking, that this isn't just a business decision. This is, for them, a moral decision. Well, if you don't challenge that, if you accept that, then, of course, you have to pay for the electric school buses.
Mm. You know, on the climate change issue, you know, Obama ended up speaking on that last night. I don't know if you watched any of
the
DNC.
Sure he did. You know, he of the mansion on Martha's Vineyard that's, what, maybe 4 feet above sea level, if that.
Uh-huh.
The sea level that's supposed to be rising
well,
with the several thousand gallons of liquefied hydrocarbon fuel.
I know, but here, right. the point being, though, is that he says, we're going to defend freedom and we're going to fight climate change. It's like, no, you don't understand. You can't do both, all right? You know, if you're fighting climate change, you are automatically being tyrannical because that's their entire response to everything
no,
about
these
this
are the
agenda.
Same people. Did you see the backdrop of their convention? I think they had the sign that said rule of law in big, bold cap letters.
No, I think it was the rule of them is what they is what it
Which
really
is
should.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, they gaslight you that way. They you know, everything for them is has dual meanings, and it's not the meaning that most people take at face value.
All right, let me talk with. I think this is Dave on line three. Hello, is this Dave? Good morning.
Yep, this is Dave.
All right, and you're with Eric Peters. What question do you have for the automotive journalist?
Well, it's more of a thank you because I have that 91. Ford pickup truck with a straight six. Mm-hmm. It cost me some money, but I found a good backyard mechanic, and he's fixed my truck. I still need to get tires for it and check out the master cylinder on the brakes.
Yeah,
but it runs really good because he discovered I needed two fuel pumps for the two tanks, and he put in a new tank. You know, it cost me $2,400 to get it fixed, but he worked with me by me giving him a down payment of $1,700.
That's great, though. Now, 91, those old Ford pickup trucks, Eric, with the straight six, those things can be bulletproof, right?
Well, they are. Those inline sixes will go 300,000 miles. And the point, really, the more important point to me is that they're readily and easily and economically rebuildable when the time comes.
That's good. There's this guy on YouTube that is called I Do Cars, and he tears down engines that have blown up. And boy, there's an awful lot of those 3 and 4 cylinder Uber turbocharged ones that are just grenading themselves all the time. We've been talking about that. But one time he actually had a Ford 6 cylinder, the straight six, in those trucks, and he says, we almost never see these because they just keep running.
And people don't want to give them up. And, you know, something that people listening may not be aware of, engines like that, and like the engine in my Trans Am, generally speaking, they can be bored out multiple times. A lot of these engines don't have, the new engines, don't have the physical material in the block. They're sleeved, and that's it. And they run for however long they run, and that's it. You throw them away when they wear out.
Yeah, the landfill economy, as it were. Let me go to Bob. Bob, you've been holding on here. We appreciate your question. For Eric, go ahead.
Good morning, Bill. Good morning, Eric. With the Jeep curse haunting the house of Stellantis, there was some buzz and some hype about bringing back the Dodge Rampage to compete with the Maverick, and you know, and the other small truck brands. Is there any more anything happening with regards to that?
Nothing official, but I've heard some talk about that as well. And they could do it. You know, they've got that little crossover now in the Dodge lineup, the Hornet, which many people don't even know about because it's not selling very well. Because who needs yet another little crossover, right?
Yeah, there's
but
lots
they,
of
they
them.
They could use that platform. That platform would be perfect. It's exactly what Ford did. You know, the Maverick is just a rebodied Escape. You know, you just change the body, put a little bed on it. And boom, there you go. And then you might have a practical vehicle that people would want to buy.
So, but nothing official, right, Bob? That's what you were wondering about.
Right. And kind of that's where the unibody came from, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. Exactly.
All right. Hey, appreciate the call there, Bob. And, yeah, that would be great. And my concern is that Stellantis Chrysler Jeep, that could be going down if they don't find a way out of this regulatory compliance issue pretty soon, right?
Absolutely. I mean, Chrysler is practically a goner. It's already practically gone. They literally have one model. They've got a minivan. That's it. They don't sell anything else. So how long can you sustain a brand on the basis of one model? Probably not for much longer. Dodge is down to two. Dodge, you know, what has Dodge got? They've got the Durango, which is not long for this world probably, and they've got the Hornet. And you can't keep a brand going very long on two models.
Yeah, what's the Hornet again?
It's a small crossover. I test drove it earlier this year. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not a bad little vehicle, but it's just another crossover. And Dodge is the last brand that needs to try to sell another crossover.
Yeah.
You know, they used to be the brand that sold these big, brash American muscle cars. That was what made Dodge different than all the other brands.
All right. Eric, what do you think is going to be in the driveway for next week's review? Because you had the recharged Volvo model that you were talking about, which is like, yeah, you know, you have to pay more and you get less. Less power, less range.
I've been actually a good boy. I've kept track of what my schedule is. And they're going to be dropping off the new Lexus CX-550, which is interesting because it's the cousin of the Toyota Land Cruiser that we talked about a couple of weeks ago that I test drove.
Yes.
And people who are listening may remember the Land Cruiser used to come standard with a V8, and the new one comes standard with a turbo hybrid 4. So if you want something a little bit more than that, Lexus has got you covered. The GX550 is basically a premium badged and slightly larger version of the Land Cruiser, and it comes with a V6 now. So that's become what the V8 was as recently as 5 years ago, i.e. it's a luxury item now.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to talking with you next week about that. By the way, Eric, end of next week, I'm going to be heading over to my 45th high school reunion in Milan, Ohio. My class of 150, whoever's left, will be...
pretty old?
Yeah, just a little bit. I'm sure I'll be sitting there, hey, how did I get all these friends that are so old now, old classmates? But the interesting thing is that I'll be flying into Hopkins International Airport, one of my least favorite airports in the land, but be that as it may, it's going to be late on, getting in there on like Friday morning. And so I'm renting a car to drive into Milan that day. And I rented the car, and it's fascinating to look at how they are begging you in the rental.
For an EV.
They are begging you to take an EV. They're begging you. In fact, I went there, and so I ended up getting like a Kia Soul or something like that because I just wanted a compact. It's just me in one bag. I don't need much more than that. But the thing is that all of the rental car companies, here, you can have the mystery vehicle at a much lower cost than all the other ones here. And the way they do this is that, it could be, an electric vehicle or a hybrid or something like that. And it's just like, oh, man, not taking that risk, middle of the night in Cleveland, of all places.
And you're in a different place, a different town, and you've got a place where you need to be. You don't need to monkey around. You want to just get there and do your business or see the people that you've come to see. And then when it's over, you want to get back to the airport quickly so that you can make your flight and all of that. So the last thing you want is to have to deal with a battery-powered device that might not work or that might not have enough charge, or that will leave you with a charge if you don't drop it off fully charged.
And that's just it. I'm wondering, here it is. I'll be flying out Labor Day Monday to come back to Southern Oregon. And so, I'll be dropping the car off like 3, 4 in the morning. It's like, all right, it's not like when you go to the gas station and you just fill the car up and then you drop it off at the rental place.
Yep.
I mean, where do you go? Just to, what? So you figure if you get the AV, they're going to charge you. They'll charge you like the equivalent of if they were putting gas in it with the gasoline vehicle.
Because of the hassle of the weight and all of that. Now, these rental car companies have invested heavily in this EV boondoggle. We all know about the Hertz situation.
Right.
And it's just been catastrophic for them because customers do not want them, period. Hard stop.
And especially if you're not familiar with the area and the where the chargers are located. And just for fun, I looked up, where are the electric charging stations near Milan, Ohio? And there's like 3 or 4 of them. None of them are fast chargers. None of them. And, the Uber ones. So apparently the electric vehicle movement has not been really big out there in northwest or north central Ohio, the way it's looking.
And even if they're fast, is that what you want to do when you're on a business trip or you're on vacation? You want to sit at a Sheetz for a half hour someplace?
Not falling for that one. Not falling at all for it. But we appreciate the take, as always. EPautos.com. Lots of great commentary. Good people there. And great journalism on transportation and politics. Thanks so much, Eric. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
All right. We'll be talking about that new Lexus. 4 minutes after 7, KMED. KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford. KBXG Grants Pass. Town Hall News in 60 seconds. American Rancher.